As we said in the beginning of our King Lear episode, Shakespeare plays are like shooting fuckboy fish in a fuckboy barrel. He wrote this play in the mid-1590s, and it just kind of encompasses that nebulous middle ground of annoying relationship crap that everyone I know who's been single in the age of Tinder has dealt with. How did he know, you guys? How did Shakespeare know? Greetings, Attic Wives. Greetings, Attic Wives, and welcome to Fuckboys of Literature. I'm your host, Emily Edwards. Love's Labour's Lost is one of Shakespeare's best sex farces, which we'll get to later on in the show as well. He's writing essentially in the midst of a royal holy war, and he's like, isn't it funny? Everyone wants to bang. This is hilarious. The genius of Shakespeare exists in his wordplay, his legacy, and in his politics. But Jesus, did the guy understand horny people to boot? All right, everyone, with me again is one of my absolute favorite people on earth, Lauren Emily Whalen. How the hell are you?
I'm good, Emily. It's no longer the temperature of Dante's Inferno in Chicago.
Ooh, congratulations.
It's actually, thank you. It was a rough few weeks for a while. It's really beautiful out, so I have my windows open, and yeah, I'm pretty good.
Yay! Like, you guys have the lake, so you guys have so much more humidity than we do, and I do not envy you for that, because that sucks.
No, it's not fun.
But we are talking about something really, really fun today, because you are my go-to Shakespeare expert. And today we're doing Love's Labour's Lost, which I'd never read before.
Oh, this play. It's so funny because up until maybe like 3 or 4 years ago, I had never read it either. And I think it was fall of 2018, I reviewed a production, and I didn't know much about it at all. And then Shakespeare Company in Chicago that I frequently worked with, they were like, hey, just so you know, we're doing this in the spring, wink, wink, you should audition. And I was like, well, hint taken, like, yeah. And so that was in the spring of 2019, and I was cast as Rosaline. I love Rosaline. Yeah.
She's
and
great.
Then in the spring of 2021, I found out about auditions for a virtual production through a company out of Roanoke, Virginia, and I was cast as the Princess of France. So it is
the other best female character.
The other
ever
best
in this
female
play.
Character. I know. I was telling a friend of mine who also played the Princess of France several years ago. I was like, I thought I loved Rosaline like the best of most Shakespeare characters, honestly. Mm-hmm. And then I played the Princess of France. And it's just like, who do I love more of these characters? Because they're both amazing. Like in a, you know, legion of fuckboys in this play. Speaking of the title of your podcast.
Like, I, you know, one of the things that I was talking about, I did Much Ado with my friend, Dr. Janet Bartholomew, a couple
of
weeks ago.
I love that one.
And she had this thing where she was just like, Shakespeare loves a shrew. And it's so obvious in this play that Shakespeare fucking loves salty, strong women, because both Rosaline and the Princess of France are just like, take no shit women. And it's awesome.
No. It is amazing. And that's the thing. I feel like some people who only know the Shakespeare like they studied in high school, they mm-hmm. think of like Shakespearean women as Juliet or Lady Macbeth. And yep. there
Your
is
virgin whore complex.
Yep. The virgin whore complex. Yes. And there are so many more like amazing Shakespearean women, including, I mean, Beatrice. I would commit literal murder to play Beatrice. but playing Rosaline and the Princess of France was almost as good because, yeah, they both just – they're here – they're not here for the shit of these boys that
– Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, okay, so can you give us like a –
basic log line of the play, because I feel like this is one of the ones yes. that people don't read in high school, like you said.
Yes. This was an early Shakespearean play, just to give some background. Some people, I think there are theories that this was a precursor to Much Ado, that Shakespeare later kind of rewrote some of this as Much Ado, which I think you can especially see in like the Rosaline and Barone relationship. Mm-hmm. So this is a Shakespearean rom-com that's basically a rom-com until it isn't, yes. at the very, very end. So there are four ladies, the Princess of France and her ladies-in-waiting, that come to negotiate with Ferdinand, and he and his three fuckboy friends have made a pledge to concentrate on their studies for, I think it's 3 years.
It's 3 years, yeah.
And, like, essentially not have sex. And, and you know, just, like, I mean, they don't say that, but it's, like, they're not going to fall in love for 3 years. And then yeah. here comes this beautiful woman and her three beautiful friends, and they're like, oh, fuck, like, what are we going to do? The first thing is we're going to tell them they can't come in. They have exactly. to stay in the field. And so basically shenanigans ensue from there. There's also a subplot involving a wench, the word they mm-hmm. use, named Jaquanetta, who has fallen pregnant. And there's a lot of miracles. Yes, there's a lot of wacky mix-ups around that too. It is very much a rom-com until the very, very end of the play.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I love the fact that, like, the first act one, scene one, is four dudes going, we are going to forswear women. Like, so many Shakespeare plays where they're like, oh, yeah. we're noble men. We can stand without women. And then they're like, fuck, four hotties just showed up. And then, like, everything, like, all hell breaks loose. It's great.
It's so great. They sign a pledge, even.
They sign a pledge.
It's this whole thing where they're – the second production of Love's Labors, it was a virtual production, and there were a lot of, like the very tech-savvy director, like, had mm-hmm. a whole bunch of cool, like, little backgrounds. And in the first scene, like, they actually kind of, like, virtually, like, sign this little pledge. And it's That's very awesome. Cute. Yeah, it's just, yeah, they sign the pledge. And then literally it's like, oh, the Princess of France is here. And here are her three friends. And it's these eight
that you all somehow have already met. Like, and you already yeah. know, you kind of have the hots for them. And
yeah. There's a whole thing with Rosaline and Barone where he's just like, oh, if we met. And yeah, it's just like, oh, Barone. Like, Barone is Ferdinand's probably closest friend, and he's mm-hmm. If you have read Much Ado, just to the audience, not to you, yeah. if you've read Much Ado, he is basically the precursor for, just think, like, Benedick, mm-hmm. except more of an idiot, if that's possible.
Benedick at least has the benefit of being a very good man, you know, where yeah. he's just kind of like, I went to war. I did the things I was supposed to do. Yes. I understand the virtues of my society and I hold to them. Yes. Whereas, like, Barone is just kind of like, I know I promised to forswear women, but I didn't really mean it. I'm really cool with just sticking to the books and fucking girls on the side.
Yeah. Yeah. And he also just has no game. It's like,
none.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're hot. Like, Rosaline's yeah. like, yeah. And like,
tell me something I don't know. Like,
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. These, the Princess and company are just very, very confident humans. And I say humans just because in the 2019 production I was in, Mariah was actually Mario. And oh, cool. so we had a nice little queer relationship. And in the 2021 production, Dumain, who is one of Ferdinand's friends, was non-binary. So
oh, awesome.
Yeah, I'm seeing this play, like, getting done more and getting talked mm-hmm. about more. And I know I said that about The Winter's Tale when I was last on, but it is interesting how like Shakespeare's earlier and later plays in the canon, like, are just coming up more and more. And I like that a lot. I mean, variety, you know?
You know, I especially love the fact, you know, like, we're all sick and tired of Macbeth. Like, we are all really tired of, like, noble-born dudes who are, you know, like, grappling with their nobility and their history and stuff like that. It's so boring. We don't need that anymore. Whereas, like, I love the – because there's nothing about this play that says it has to be binary male-female. There's nothing about it.
No. No.
It's all miscommunication, and don't worry about the sirens.
Okay, I was going to say.
We were talking before – I might just leave that in now because, like, we were talking before we started recording. We're able to, like, we live in a city. There's nothing you can do. Everybody just has to be patient. Yeah, but, like, Love's Labour's Lost, there's – in most Shakespeare plays, I would say, even though he is writing in a world where there's not a ton of, you know, hinting towards non-binary, non-heterosexual relationships, he does also make, you know, kind of, like – he does reference queerness. He does reference, you know, obviously a blurring of lines and things like that with a lot of also, like, the sexual puns that are, like – in this play, left, right, and center.
Oh, yeah. I will say that Shakespeare actually does have a few characters that are they, them. One of them is in Macbeth. I think it's Ross, who is they, them, which is really interesting looking back because, you know, there are always people who say, oh, like, non-binary, it's this newfangled thing. And it's like, well, no, it's in Shakespeare. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, there's also, and of course, this is sexuality and not gender, but there's also, you know, a lot of theories that Shakespeare himself was bisexual. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, either way, he loved those sex puns because, yeah, they are out in full force in Love's Labour.
Hear more about our discussion about sexuality, gender, identity, and all sorts of fun, sexy, sexy things in Shakespeare's Love's Labour Lost. Please sign up at our Patreon at patreon.com/fuckboysoflit. And be sure to check there as well for links on how to order Lauren's brand new book.